Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we discover that my character in Baldur's Gate 3 is racist.
Yeah.
Holy.
A fantasy space Nazi.
Oh my God. They are the worst. I had no idea. I mean, I didn't pick Githyanki as my race because I knew anything about them. I don't know if I'd even heard of them. I don't know if they're like, if they were in the original Baldur's Gates, if they were.
I don't think they were, no.
I don't, because they're kind of tied to the Illiths, which I don't think the Mind Flayers are from our realm either.
They're Planescape.
Yeah.
Or Spelljammer.
Yeah. Well, I'll look up a little bit more about where they came from. But yeah, so I picked it because it dovetailed well with the class.
Yes.
But then when we rocked up and everyone's calling us an Istex. Yeah. You know, because
insulting us. Every single person that spoke to us insulted us.
Just like, and I think Josh was like, is that a slur? I'm like, yes, that's absolutely a slur. We are definitely racist.
Yeah. And then they were even racist to you.
Yeah, because I wasn't.
You went from the same creche.
Yeah. Shouldn't be where they're obviously very like hierarchical.
Yes.
You know, so like you being not where you should be is like, what you could possibly be.
Scum.
Yeah, you must be, you know. Well, apparently so, because we killed a lot of them as a result.
Yeah. I do like that we managed to end the game completely.
We did. What did we do?
Trash talk the queen.
Oh,
we just continuously trash talked the queen until she killed us.
Yeah, the queen is powerful.
She cast a wish spell and wished us to all be dead.
She cast a wish spell.
Yeah, that's what she did.
I didn't know. I wasn't sure what the lore is there. So wish magic, that's a limited time. That's a limited.
No. Ninth level. It's the most powerful level of spells you can get.
Wow.
And you got to be very careful with your wording. I can't remember what she said, but she said, I wish you were all dead. No, she didn't say that.
Yeah.
I wish you all weren't alive or something like that, she said.
Wow.
And then game over. We all just went,
Oof, dead.
Game over.
Right. Can you block a wish like that? You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's really OP.
Yeah. Well, it's like end of the world kind of stuff. You're a level 18 character to be able to cast that spell.
Yeah.
Out of 20. So you're right at the end of the game.
Yep. Yep. How do you fight against it? Like in a proper D&D campaign, do you not come up against enemies that have these abilities?
Yeah,
like-
not in very. You would know that there's a spellcaster there, and there's all these earlier ways of killing you, like power word kill. There's another death power word, not power word, power word kill.
Yeah, I knew, but power word
death
you can.
Ray.
You can resist those, like, can't you?
Disintegrate.
As well?
There's a whole bunch of ways to instantly kill people.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it.
But I thought.
You do get a chance to save it.
But not with wish, do you?
No.
So the only way to kill like that sort of level high sorcerer would be like a sneak attack. That's like some sort
you wouldn't use it. That's why we had to taunt her and taunt her and taunt her before she used it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use a wish just willy nilly.
Yeah, right.
I wish we could win this dungeon. You don't use it like that. Because it like ages you. 10
right.
years or
I'm
something.
Like, well, what's
there's
the...
a penalty to you as well for casting it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So there has to be some. I was trying to we just go around just wishing everyone death and taking over the world. But no, if it's got some sort of.
Yeah, there's consequences for
is
you.
Is that why people start to dive into like becoming a lich?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Once again, the D&D world makes this game so much richer than it would be otherwise, you know, like just those little things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really
and
interesting.
And Josh keeps saying, why this? And I go, D&D answer.
Yeah.
Forgetting that he doesn't have 25 years of D&D background.
Yeah.
He goes, I know that you're saying words that answer the question, but it doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, there's an awful lot of assumed D&D knowledge in this game.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh. The other assumed knowledge should be that always remember your character will always run before it jumps.
Oh, that was hilarious. That was so funny. And if you're on a ledge with your three companions, don't try and jump unless you're right on the edge of the ledge and on the correct side of the repulsor trap.
Whoops.
Josh went one way, I went the other way, and Dino went the third way. That was very funny.
Yeah, so I tried to jump over a trap while Josh was trying to disarm the trap, but my character did the classic walk forward four steps before attempting to jump because it doesn't really telegraph it very well.
No.
And I walked into the trap, which blew both of us off into the acid pit. That was fun. I think it broke his legs as well because he couldn't move.
Yeah,
for the
broke
rest
the
of the
game.
Fight.
Yeah,
it broke the game somehow.
So it knocked me off as well, but I could just climb back up again. But
yeah,
for some reason he couldn't jump anymore.
Up. Yeah,
and he had to jump to be able to do the next bit.
Yeah,
he couldn't do it. He was very, very displeased.
He
with
was
that.
Very displeased. That was quite funny. That's quite funny. I got a clip of that actually. I have to show you afterwards. Yeah. That happening. Yeah, so there. Yeah, that was for the crash egg master guy. We had to steal the egg for the lady for some reason.
For some reason,
I figured taking babies away from the racists and raising them separately might be a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's some like colonial
intervention.
Well, and
the racists want to kill the baby anyway.
The racists do want to kill the baby.
Yeah,
the racists. They are want to kill really the baby. Like into the they're like into eugenics because like if it's strong, just throw them away. You know, like that's it cuts deep, man.
It does.
I guess it's an interesting, like, if you think about the history is what I know, you know, being a slave race to the mind flayers for so long, then rising up, you can understand why they would be like cultural trauma to the entire species for being like that for so long kind of thing. And then coming into this power that they have now that maybe they're a little like, well, you didn't help us. We were slaves for thousands of years and you did nothing. You know, now we're the ones taking the fight. What are you doing? Of course, it's tech. Why what are you doing?
You
know, like, interesting. I wonder if there'll be more. I don't know if that'll get touched on in the story at all or if it'll just be something that's just.
I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah.
There seems to be quite a bit of content past getting killed by the Githyanki Queen that we still have to discover. And I also learned that you don't insult a giant eagle.
Oh, yeah. What did you do to the giant eagle?
The giant eagle learnt that you don't mess with a dragonborn sorcerer either.
Well, that's also true.
It burnt to a crisp.
Yeah. Whoops.
Well, the blue jay said they stolen his nest. He's obviously a filthy liar.
Well, I thought they were eagles, not giant eagles. Yeah, I don't know like why eagles. I should have expected anything less than giant eagles. Like, and why would a giant eagle steal a blue jay's nest? It's
exactly.
Like physically
it makes
too
no sense.
No.
And then when I said, "Is this your nest?" the giant eagle said, "How dare you insult me?" and attacked us straight away.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. Well, I'm not recovering from that then. I'll just kill you. And then the blue jay comes back and goes, "My nest. I got a big nest."
He is loving it. He's loving it.
I'm sure he was a sneaky little liar, but you can't interact with that in any way.
No.
The game doesn't let you interact with that in any way. I didn't get to
call him out,
question him or call him out, anything. No.
Yeah. The Blue Jays conversation was amusing in that, like, he was complaining that the eagle stole
because they were bigger than he was.
And then he stole his current nest from some other tit who wandered off kind of thing.
And then
he
wants you to take it from the eagles because you're bigger than they are.
Yeah. It's like, and to the Blue Jays' mind, total internal consistency with that thought. There was not a shred of like anything else. And
no
this
moral
is just,
compass issues.
This is
there
the way it is. You're bigger. I'm bigger. We're bigger. We all just take what we want. You know, that's just the way it is. I'm like, oh, that was really fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then in other news, we lost another companion.
Yeah, but very disappointingly so.
Yeah, not in blood. Not in blood at all. Not in explosions
he
either.
He didn't explode like you kept saying he was going
no
to.
No dimensional rift breaking, nothing. Just, okay, I'm leaving. And
well,
then aside
you, I'm off then.
I'm off. Yeah. I really hope that comes back.
No.
To something else. Did you look it up? You just
no,
guessing?
I didn't. Okay. I'm just. I don't think he will, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you get like a little, at the end of the game, you get the what happened.
Yes.
And Gale blew up.
Yes.
Gale never found a magic item to eat and he blew up.
I just want to like come across like a scorch mark.
Yeah, a massive crater.
And like, what happened here? Yeah. Like, and you find like, you know, something of his around, you know, that would be fun. Yeah. Or some demon. Because like the implication is that he's like made a pact with hell or something like that.
He's got a magic bomb in his chest. We didn't interrogate him very much, but I've interrogated him a bit in my single player game. He's got it's a magic bomb in his chest.
Right.
And he has to feed it magic or it will explode.
But he talks about like it ripping dimensions apart and stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than just straight up and down the explosion kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a massive. So he was dating the god of magic.
A mistake.
Yeah. And then he started playing with forbidden magic because he thought he was good enough to do it. And then, sorry, the goddess of magic.
Yeah.
God, goddess, same thing, really. And then she decided she was annoyed with him for playing with the Netherese magic. So she chucked the Netherese magic bomb in his chest.
Oh.
And said, deal with this now.
Okay.
Sod off. Which is interesting because he's still a wizard. So she didn't strip him of his magical powers.
No.
She just stuck an exploding nether bomb in his chest.
Right.
As sufferance.
Okay.
For cheating on her.
Right. With Netherese magic.
With Netherese magic.
Wait, yeah. Which is her magic because she's goddess of magic. So.
No, no. Oh. She's. So this is the. All the original gods died and all new gods came out. That was the end of second edition, the start of third edition.
That's right.
And they've done the same thing again with fourth edition. They haven't quite telegraphed it as much with fifth edition.
Right.
Because they're all pretty much the same as the second edition gods. But they made a big deal of it when second edition finished and third edition started.
Right. What was the reason for all the gods dying?
So they could change the consistency. It's like a retcon for comic books.
Right.
So they could change all the internal consistency and everything would be all right.
Right. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So no, there's no law then saying the old gods died or anything?
No, there is. Yeah. Right, so okay. Baal.
Yeah.
Is. So there was an original god of murder, death, and Baal, Merkel, and. Someone else. So there were three things that were bad was one god.
Yeah.
But then he died and gave one third of each of his powers to the pantheon to three really evil mortals.
Right.
And they became the three new gods.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's in the lore. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the lore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Of course there is. Of course
and the sun
is.
And the moon split apart.
Right.
The night and day split apart and they're sisters but they hate each other but they love each other and all that. There's a whole
all
lot of
that stuff.
All if
that
you
stuff.
Dig into it.
Yeah, and you really can. Interesting. Like, yeah, it's been a long time since I really did dive into reading about it and stuff like that.
Well, and they I mean, everywhere we went, that whole area, there were temples to Saloon everywhere.
Yeah.
And we know that Shah, the thing, the artifact is a Shah artifact. So they've got Saloon and Shah even in this story, but they're just breezing over the top of it.
Yeah.
Without giving you any too much detail.
I guess they probably don't want to scare people off with 17 pages of lore on how this thing comes apart and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, so Gale escaped Wrath,
unscathed.
Which I'm a little bit disappointed in, but I'm curious to see if the game does bring something back.
Yeah, and it was obvious that there was only two things you could do at that point. You could either give him a magic item to eat and he'd stay with you, or he would leave.
Yeah.
It was clear from all the responses that you could give that there were actually only
We've
two
hit
choices.
Hit the point of kind of thing.
You cannot make him explode.
No.
They have not written him exploding in the camp into the story.
No.
Very disappointed.
Yeah. So just Shadowheart left.
Yeah, Shadowheart. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Haven't had much interaction. We'll see what comes of that.
Yes.
Because she's evil, technically.
Yeah. Well, she is.
Yeah.
Not just technically. Yeah, she worships an evil god.
God. Doesn't seem very evil, though. It's not like classically evil in any or anything. Yeah. You know, not even like a... She seems very pleasant and very nice.
Yes, and she doesn't
want
to slaughter everybody immediately.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know what the go is there. I feel like there's definitely a missing part to her story that she hasn't told us yet.
Yeah.
So I think we're officially in Act 2.
Yes, we are. So, and I think we're missing a lot of content in the game because we are playing with four human players and not getting any of the companions.
Fair enough. And so, the whole druid thing. Not a problem. Just walked on, left it behind. So that's totally fine. No problems.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it didn't stop the game from progressing.
Which is good. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not great that it bugged out, but I'd rather it just ignored it than...
Yeah, than cause
a problem where you
internal
can't...
Internal consistency trauma.
Gather your party before gathering force, you know, something like that forever.
Yeah.
That'd be, not fun. So Baldur's Gate 3, still...
I didn't like the monastery. At all.
The monastery. That's right.
Is. So they killed a whole bunch of monks in the monastery and then set up their creche in the basement.
Yeah.
But I hate the map. The map is terrible. It's a broken three-story building on top of at least a two-story basement.
Yeah.
But it's all broken.
Yeah.
So you can't map it logically because there's holes in the floor and...
You can jump over. I jumped over and found a crate.
Yeah.
Or just on the other side of the top of the eagle floor.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of thing. I only just did it because I could just jump high enough to get back over again of thing, you know. So, there might be a few other hidden...
Yeah, I would imagine.
You have to find... To get, the guardian to jump out a broken window.
Right.
In that puzzle room that you were messing around with.
Oh,
I jumped out the window.
We never went back to the puzzle room.
Because we haven't found all the artifacts yet. We've only found...
The battle axe.
Artifacts out of the four. So, there's more in there. We haven't left that building yet, so we can still go around and explore.
True.
We just... Finished up with the queen yes. wishing us to death.
Yes. That was impressive.
That was good. I'm glad we pushed out.
We barreled down the voice on head saying, whatever you do, don't go to the Githyanki. So we went to the Githyanki. Whatever you do, don't show them the artifact. So we showed them the artifact.
Yeah, yeah.
Just completely ignoring the voice on the head.
The whole voice in the head is a bit weird. I don't really. I guess it's not part of the point. Like, is it there to help you? Is it there to hinder you? Like, it says that it's trying to help you, but like.
Yeah, but you you believe it?
Well, it's from an evil. Do we know for sure? Like, I know that. I know Shadowheart had the artifact.
Yes.
But do we know it's a Shaar artifact or is it.
Yeah, she said her god. Well, no, that's true. She just said her god wants her to protect it.
I'm
that
just
doesn't
like,
mean it's a Shaar artifact.
Like, no. You know, what is
that's
the origin
an assumption
of
assumption I made, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair.
Well, and the Githyanki think it's theirs. Well, no, they just call it the weapon.
Yeah. And they're looking for it and stuff.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they think it's theirs.
Yes. Yeah, true. Yes. So that's interesting. I guess that's a mystery.
It is.
About what's going on.
And we continue to find more fighter weapons.
Of course, it's good.
Yeah.
That's what I need. I got a massive sword now. It's great. Yes. I've gone through like 5 different great weapons so far because they're all just, fighter weapons.
Candy! Hey,
candy. Oh, okay, nice.
Oh,
you
want something for a wizard? Oh, you have a ring that gives you +1 to your saving throws.
Someone's got to stab everyone to death.
Yeah.
Can't rely on you guys to kill anyone. Jeez. That's true. No, that's not fair. Josh can get a good backstab in there.
Yes, when he... Snucker took the crash handler.
Yeah.
And he went down to 3 hit points left or something.
Boom.
Full. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. I kind of didn't like that though.
No.
Even though we're murder hobos, killing him without talking to him grated with me a little bit.
Yeah. We did talk to him a couple of times before we reloaded and there didn't seem to be any option.
Well, that's because we kept going down the obvious, this is going to lead to combat path.
Oh, I tried. No, we tried.
Did you tried?
Yeah, And he was even less interested in talking to me than he was Josh, I think, as well, because it was that. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's any way to make. Well, there was a saving throw that I missed, potentially, that may have let us convince him to give us the egg.
Yeah.
Because obviously he wants to save the egg
and
higher up suppressioning. So, like, there wasn't. I feel there's an avenue there for us to.
Oh, that's right. There was that charisma check that you've got, like, -4 on your charisma checks or something. Yes. To say, let us take the egg.
Yes. But I don't know if we could have got that if we weren't Githyanki anyway. So, I don't know if that was ever an option for us.
Yeah.
But also, like, they're racist.
They are. Yeah.
So, you know.
And the lady didn't give a crap about us. She just cared about the illithid tadpole in her head. So I'm glad I blew up her machine.
Yeah, right.
But I actually personally think that's really terrible game design, that if you fail a saving throw, you permanently lose 2 points off that stat.
Say that again.
So because I failed the wisdom saving throw, so you got to make an intelligence saving throw in the machine, then a wisdom saving throw, then another intelligence or charisma saving throw to succeed.
Yeah.
So you need to pass 3 difficulty class 10, difficulty class 15, difficulty class 20 saving throws.
Yeah. You've
got to pass 3 of them for the machine not to blow up.
Yeah.
But if you fail any one of them, you get -2 on that ability.
For permanently.
Permanently. And you don't know what's coming up. So that's 100% this game encourages save spamming.
I would say, because you could have just done that again and just.
If I was playing single player, I would have. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I would have if I was playing single player.
Yeah, we're kind of just rolling with
minus,
like a
permanent -2 penalty to my wisdom for the rest of the game. That's brutal for failing one saving throw.
Yeah, that you didn't know it's coming up or anything. Yeah. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that in this game that are just. If these guys were actual DMs DMing people, they would lose the people that were playing their game.
Yeah. I don't know if that's fair for a computer game to maybe compare it to like what a DM would do.
No, but obviously humans wrote it.
Things. Yeah.
Humans wrote it. They wrote that if you fail the saving throw, you get a permanent -2 on that ability.
That's not a D&D thing. That's just with that particular machine.
That's just with that particular machine. Yeah, that's not a D&D thing. No, that's losing ability attribute points is almost unheard of in D&D.
Right. Okay.
Because the game knows that that's how you power your character.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important powers of your character. It's your ability scores. So reducing them, they used to. When the D&D editions didn't care about the players, lots of monsters stripped you of ability points and permanent hit point loss and all that sort of stuff. It was much darker game.
Yeah.
But since it became happy, fairy, light fun, very few things strip you of your ability points.
Well, it's not fun,
is
it?
You know, they used to strip levels off you as well, which you could have. I, in fact, did have a bunch of 5th level characters that came up against a single undead monster that could strip levels. By the end of the fight, there was one character that was level 2 left. They were all level 5 at the start of the fight. There was one level 2 character left at the end of the fight.
It's one of those things.
They just strip their levels as it attacked them.
Yeah.
And then they get worse at fighting it because they've lost their levels.
Yeah.
They lose hit points. They lose combat bonus.
Bonuses and...
So you used to be very dark. And it's under that system, then maybe that's fine. Fail a saving throw, you get a minus 2 penalty. But...
The game could have telegraphed something about that. Like,
no, I would have been fine if it was until your next long rest or something. If it wasn't that's permanent. Fine,
yeah. But even just the wisdom intelligence, like they could have telegraphed that these are going to be the checks coming up.
Yeah.
You need to,
and there's no, I can't think of any character class that would have a high intelligence and a high wisdom and a high charisma.
So you're supposed to fail at that and lose 2 points.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is weird.
Because that means you're completely ignoring strength, dexterity, and constitution.
Yeah.
And most people that are playing a wizard will bump up intelligence at the cost of wisdom. And most people that are playing a cleric will bump up wisdom at the cost of intelligence.
Yep.
My character and Dino's character proof both point.
Yeah, that's
I have intelligence and charisma, but I have no wisdom. And Dino's got good wisdom, but no intelligence.
That's why he stands in fire all the time.
Yeah, that's why he stands in the fire. Yeah. So, yeah, that, as you can tell, that bugged me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, I understand now. I didn't click that it was a permanent loss. And, the game could have definitely done something to prepare us for that before we step in the machine. Oh, this is going to be a test of intelligence and wisdom. Yeah. Make sure you prepare. Like she could have said, this is good. Like just like a side hint, you know, like that maybe that you should prepare. Because there was not even I think the conversation happened and then you got sucked into the machine. There was not like.
Yeah, I could refuse to go into the machine or I could get out of it as soon as it started hurting me. But obviously then you just fail the quest.
And then you don't know like it then you better go back in again or anything. Yeah. Like it was, okay.
But she got killed anyway when she insulted us for breaking her machine.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Another fantasy space Nazi bastard.
Yep. Oh, well.
We're still enjoying playing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's fun. It's good shenanigans, you know.
But
it
is also nice to tear shreds off it every now and then.
Game of the year.
Yeah.
It's our favorite refrain whenever something goes wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, some bug or something like that for sure. Well, you know what didn't get the game of the year?
Starfield.
So off the back of last episode, I was trying to get my piloting skills up so I can use the ship that I already own that has enough light years so I can continue the main story.
Yeah.
And to do that, I need to level up, get points, destroy ships.
And there's not even any way to refund your points or anything if you've invested in a skill without realizing how useless it is.
Redone that. Yeah. And so I thought, hey, okay, I need to kill 15 ships. I've got this Crimson Fleet quest sitting in my queue. So I'm like,
I know where this is going.
I'll do Crimson Fleet because Crimson Fleet are pirates. I will be flying my ship and fighting and raiding and Crimson Fleeting. And it starts off and you do get a little fight with three ships.
Yeah, three civilian ships.
And the rest of it has been me fast traveling to planets and doing everything on foot. Yep. I'm like, this is really not... Yep. Like, I'm getting XP, which is good, and obviously story content gives you more XP. I just don't need to get another level, so that's okay. But I'm like, I didn't want to go to the mission board and just grab a bunch of missions.
Yeah.
I wanted to avoid that. I thought I'll do this story content because
there's so much story content in the game.
Yeah.
You want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. I'll you know, incidentally get that as well. But
incorrect.
No
ship combat.
No ship combat so far. I mean, there might be, but I'm not.
And I have become incredibly dubious about the ship combat.
Oh, ship combat's garbage.
I am flying around in essentially a cargo hauler.
Yeah.
And I got into a fight twice. I got into a fight with three enemy ships.
Yeah.
And both times I beat them.
Yeah.
Without having to reload.
Right.
And I'm running around in basically a giant tugboat.
Yeah, right.
It makes no sense. I've got two guns. I don't even know what my weapons are. That's how
uninterested in it. You are.
Yeah, I've got two guns on the side and a rack, an EM pulse rack or something on the roof.
Right.
And I blew up three enemies twice. So, yes, both times when all three ships were firing at me, I had to use a repair thing.
Yep. I'll repair, yep.
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 but I only had to do that once in both fights, and then I beat the three ships.
Yeah.
I'm going, this is crazy.
It's just so – it's not dynamic. Like, the, my strategy, which seems to be the what everyone says, is you just stay still, right? So you can, you can just turret. Just stay
still.
Yeah, and then you just, like, line them up, target lock on, shoot, whatever. Yeah. You can sort of maybe then – if you target locked on, you might be able to, like, track it as it, you know, goes past you. And then only move, because you don't want any power on your engines, because you want them all on your guns for a start.
Yeah.
Then when someone does like missile lock on you, you boost away to break the missile lock kind of thing. And then you stop again and just turn around and turret and just shoot, you know, kind of thing.
Well, that's completely different to the way I fight.
Well,
maybe I just get on their tail and they can't shake you.
Yeah, right.
You just get on their tail and they can't shake you.
You just keep following them around.
Blow up their engine. Yeah, right. They can't move.
Boom. Yeah. Then you can probably board them as well. Probably a better strategy, but I don't know. It's been effective. So far, yeah, so I'm like really
yours has worked for you and mine's worked for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I guess, is good that there's multiple viable strategies for the space combat.
Just feels a bit boring,
and the rewards aren't good enough.
No, you get nothing. Nothing. Yeah, you got to buy more ship parts that are too heavy to carry around.
Yeah.
At least with No Man's Sky, it's a bit more of that kind of like chasing them down and stuff. And what it's got is just got a simple system that you press a button. And the ship will just orientate and lock on.
Okay.
So as you like, as you like flying around, you press a button and it kind of locks you into the next one. You can kind of then shoot it and take it out, fleet the missiles,
more
whatever
of an
you're
arcade
doing.
Kind of game.
A little bit more arcadey, maybe, but it feels
more good, dynamic,
better, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And you have these huge ship battles with like big, like your freighters are shooting, and there's little ships going around. You got to kind of like pick friend from foe a little bit and stuff. You know, a bit more dynamic than this one. Yeah. So, but I still got to do a bunch of ships. I'll give you a tactic to go when I still got to kill all these ships for the thing.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can make it work.
I found that once I got behind them, that was it. Piece of cake. You start wounding their engines and then their maneuverability drops.
Yeah.
And then it's even easier to stay on their tail.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, yeah. I found
Mostly, it's just lock on target, hit the thing, just do like all three buttons. Yeah, something like piling everything on them, and then most of the time they're dead before they arrive. Okay. That's one down kind of thing, you know. A little bit of like picking the lowest level one so I can take off ads faster, but that's about it.
It has made me realize that if space flight ever takes off, normal people are screwed.
Oh,
because normal people aren't going to invest in, and also this, the Strauss Eklund
ship
design quest. Because normal people aren't going to invest in ships with excellent shields and excellent weapons.
Yeah.
Which means the dudes that do invest in ships with excellent shields and excellent weapons will just be able to kill everybody and anybody they want.
Hmm.
So, in reality, space flight is going to be really bad.
Well, it comes back, like, I mean, it's also scary, right? With that type of ships that they've got in this game, right? You just get a little asteroid and just wander it down to a planet and just go flick and just let it just fall down the gravity well onto a planet. You just destroy a planet. No problems at all. Like, super easy to do. It doesn't take
a lot
much, you know.
Yeah.
There's a whole, I don't want to spoil it, but in a couple of sci-fi shows where they've touched on like how deadly this sort of thing can be and how much they have to invest in protection against such things,
shooting
you know.
Down asteroids.
You know, because if you start throwing rocks down the gravity well, like it doesn't take much, you know. Accuracy is difficult, but you don't maybe need to be that accurate to cause a lot of damage and a lot of heartache, you know. Throw a lot of dust up into the air.
Yeah.
You know, a month-long winter is not going to do anyone any favors, is it? You know,
no,
like,
it's not.
Yeah. The whole, it does, it's a good point. You know,
I just realized that when it that's the other thing. The combat when I was in the Razor Leaf, which is clearly a combat vessel, combat wasn't significantly easier than when I was in the starter ship, and then now I'm in the cargo hauler.
Yeah, right.
Combat basically feels exactly the same. I feel more powerful.
Right.
I don't feel like I can.
I'm still rolling the Razor Leaf. I haven't changed.
Yeah. I got the Wanderwell, which is the reward you get for having your parents. And my parents. That's it. My parents were hassling me out for the whole bit of the first half of the game.
Oh, really?
Or first bit of the game until my dad says, I won the ship in poker. I haven't heard from them since.
Ah,
yeah.
Of course.
So they obviously just wrote it up to that point. And it's basically a quest.
Yeah, right.
And if you get to the end of the quest, it stops.
Yeah, right. And you get a free ship.
And you get a free ship. Yeah. Which is cool.
But it suggests to you that ships are common enough that you can win them in poker games as well. Like, you know, I mean, it's a bit of a you know, Star Wars.
Well, ships are very common because I've left at least four in space with no crew on them.
Oops.
Well, because I can't pilot them.
Yeah.
So everybody on is dead.
Yep.
And apparently there's no... If any game ever needed someone that comes past after you to harvest all your stuff...
Yeah, this one needs it.
I'm jumping all over the place.
Mm.
I did another quest.
Mm.
So when you got me back into the game, I started just doing the quest and was enjoying the game immensely.
Yep.
But now to build my level two helmet research, I need a semi-metal wafer, semi-something wafer, which has made me look at loot again. And it takes an hour to go through a single facility because there's so much junk loot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did find awesome loot when I was doing it. Like I found a yellow, like an epic, a legendary gun. I found the legendary skip pack. I found one of the magazines that increased your stats up.
Yep.
I found a whole bunch of resources. I found a whole bunch of ammunition. I found a whole bunch of credits. I found a whole lot of stuff. So it wasn't a waste of time. But I didn't find what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And I didn't progress the game in any way.
Yeah.
It would be much better if I could say to my crew,
hey,
crew, this place is safe, loot it out, and dump the stuff back in our base.
Yeah.
This game is screaming for that facility.
Yeah, that'd be actually... I've always been a fan of
And you set,
that,
you know? Yeah. Like you set, what level of loot do you want us to recover? And you say, only blue, only green or higher, only yellow or higher. Or look, I'm specifically looking for these resources.
Yep.
Because it takes so much of your own personal time.
Yeah.
Because the scanner highlights everything. I don't care about forks and bowls and styrofoam cups.
Yep.
I don't care about them. Don't make the scanner highlight them.
Because you can't do anything with them.
No. Yeah, or you can sell them. They weigh so much that it's not worth carrying them to sell. But
yeah. Well, you can't sell them because you can't sell them.
But there isn't enough money
to do that. Yes. You'd better off just getting a few guns and just selling those because you're then, in the same position anyway. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So that aspect of the game really grates my gears.
That'll be fun. I mean, you got a starship. You have a starship that can have a crew.
Yeah.
And you can put a crew on it. So like
I've got six starships. I could have six different crews following me around, looting the planets.
I think there's a whole, that's actually a whole mini game, isn't it? Because then you sort of say, oh, hey, this is done. Come and loot it. You take off. They land. But then you need to equip them with guns in case, the people that you just killed come back and need to fight them off and stuff. And maybe you got to, go help them out.
That would be a much better half-assed, badly implemented minigame than the outposts.
Yes.
And the ship design.
Yeah.
I started doing ship design. There's nowhere to tell you where you can buy the ship components or even give you any idea of what ship components are available.
Yeah.
You literally have to fly around space on your own pad and paper or your own notebook next to you, write down what the star bases, what the shipyards have.
Yeah.
And then go to that and pick up the gun that you want. Go to that one and pick up the shield generator that you want. Go to that one and pick up the engine that you want. And now go to the fourth one that's got the body that you want and put the other things you just bought onto it. There's no capability built into the game to let you do that, to track that.
It's really interesting too. I'm reminded of that with Conan.
Okay.
Right? Because Conan has a very detailed, not very detailed, but just a lot of items.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of items, right? And so what that means is maybe there are multiple ways to get an item. There are different places on the map to get an item. And that if your knowledge of this huge system and all these items and how they go together and where you can get them creates advantage in the PvP game about where you find how you get and where your base is.
So you can jump up to the top of the tree more quickly.
So it makes sense that the game doesn't help you because that's intrinsic knowledge about how to play the game helps you in PvP.
Yeah.
Starfield's not a PvP game. It's a PvE game. It's a power fantasy game. It's been, think about this with Conan and Valheim playing the two side by side. Valheim's a PvE game.
Yep.
Conan's PvP game, and you can just see the DNA and the bones of just everything about the game, how it's tuned is different.
Yeah.
You can play Conan PvE, and you can do it, but it would be a better experience if it was like that. And I think with the Starfield thing, Was the internet not invented? Were there no data drops invented? Why are there no websites?
No, I know.
Why can't I go and look and browse and stuff like that? I've got a
computer.
Like,
why can't I put notes on the planet, on my star map, on my computer?
Yeah, all that stuff.
It's crazy.
Like, why are we having to write notes like it's Conan, like it's a PvP game?
Yeah.
Why isn't the game just helping me?
And you know, I looked at your... Going back to the Strauss-Zeppelin mission.
Sorry. Yeah.
I looked at your thing to find passenger slots.
Oh, yes.
And you're quite right. It doesn't tell you on your ship design that you've got passenger slots. You have to go into the ship builder and go to the component and cycle through the components to find the one that has passenger slots.
Right.
But So basically it's a body piece, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the one I found, the Strauss-Zeppelin one's got like 9 variations of that body piece.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it goes Hull 5. The next one, Hull 5, Crew 2. The next one, Hull 5. The next one, Hull 5, Crew 4. The next one, Hull 5, Passengers 2. The next one, Medical Bay, Hull 5. The next one, Workshop, Hull 5, Crew 1. It doesn't say the Medical Bay comes with this, 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 and this. The Workshop comes with this, 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 and this. You have to literally build the ship, go inside the ship, into that bit that you just put on, find out what it's got, and work out whether that's what you want or not.
Yeah.
It's terrible. That's
so bad.
Yes.
Yeah, and like that's what I feel like. See, to me, that like I go, well, that's if it was a PvP game, you knowing that Strauss-Zeppelin has this part, it has these things in it, gives you a tactical advantage over someone else.
It doesn't know.
And that makes a lot of sense. But in this, it makes no sense.
You literally would go, the dude sitting there in the shipyard, you're literally going to say, I want to get a ship that has 2 passengers and 4 crew.
Yeah.
What components do I need to get that?
Yeah.
He doesn't help you. He just says, oh, yeah, what do you want to buy on our ships? Have a look at our ships.
Yeah.
So I ripped apart my Varun Him.
Yeah.
Okay, I hijacked a black Varun Him.
Yeah.
And I found out that it had these engine cowlings on it, which are basically just cosmetic.
Yeah.
So I ripped the engine cowlings off and I chucked 2 passenger pods on it. So now I've got my crew sits in the middle and the 2 passengers sit on the outside above the engines.
Yeah.
It actually changed the name of the ship because I did that. The ship stopped being a Varun Him and became a UNC passenger transport.
Oh, classy. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
There you go. That's great. And I transported the passengers.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But I had to do that as well because I couldn't select the passenger mission without because I had no passenger slots
in
any of my ships.
And so that means that I couldn't have seen that information by buying it because you have to look at, you have to put it in the shipbuilder, which you can't do until you buy it.
Until you buy it.
You can't put stuff in the shipbuilder unless it's your home ship, which I can't do because I don't have the buying level to summon the ship.
Yep. It's crazy. So, it doesn't show that up in that. Like, it doesn't show up if you've got a research lab, if you've got a weapons workbench, if you've got a pharmaceutical workbench, if you've got passenger, just says crew. That's literally all it says. It says your engine power, your jump distance, and your crew.
Yep.
But anyway, so I did the Strauss-Zeppelin quest.
Yeah.
I pulled her up for trash-talking me.
Yep.
And then I said, all right, we're not going to go with the kitchen sink. We're going to go with a sensible budget.
Yeah.
And I convinced the guy that we would go with a sensible budget.
Yep.
Then I talked to everybody about their ship designs, and they are significantly different ship designs.
They are, aren't they? They're kind of interesting, like the way they had very different ideas about like what would be a good thing, and they were all different. They were like, oh, these are really interesting choices. Yep.
And I told someone that their ship design was terrible and was never going to work.
Which one was that?
It was the military one.
Yeah.
Because you don't build a civilian military vessel.
Yeah. It's a nice idea.
But then she says, oh, the idea was to get UC support. And then sell it to UC. Well, I go, well, you should have told me that up front. Then that's a great idea. That's completely different from what you told me.
Maybe. But getting into, like, to my mind, that still goes back. It's like, now you get into military contracts and then you've got to build stuff like maybe thing. It's sort of, But.
So I told them all what I thought of their suggestions.
Yeah.
And I liked the family truckster idea. I thought that was great.
That was interesting, wasn't it? There was a whole like concept. I think it was one of those things where the quest gives you a real insight into the people that live in the cell systems that like families might want to, that off-world vacations are a thing and that people might want to like timeshare a ship as opposed to like timesharing a holiday house kind of thing. Yeah, that was really cool.
And she went on family trips and she was young and they complained there wasn't enough room on the ships.
Yep.
So I thought, that's a really good idea. Yeah. And she was blown away that I thought the idea was great.
Yes, yeah.
Then she said, yeah, okay, so now can you get some data for us by doing these 2 missions, a fighting mission and a passenger drop-off mission?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had the option to skip the passenger drop-off mission, but I wanted to play with the system, so I played with the shipbuilding system, did the passenger drop-off mission.
Yep.
And then came back, and yeah, all of their ideas seem to be totally irrelevant.
Yeah, right. Like, and they'd all come together and decided what they would do without you being there at all.
Well, no, I had to get them all to compromise on something around the table. So there's one last step when you came back. I could have had a kumbaya team meeting where everyone's happy and everyone gets touchy-feely stuff.
Yep.
Or I could get everybody around the table to sacrifice something that they wanted.
Right.
And I chose to go around the table, everybody sacrifice something that they wanted.
Yeah.
And the super annoying guy didn't sacrifice anything because he said, I've already sacrificed my budget. I've already sacrificed my thing.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I can accept that. That's fine. A good call.
Yeah.
And then they built the Kepler S or whatever it is.
Probably think
which
same.
Which is a all-round ship with not all the hard points filled out with weapons, so you can choose to fill out the hard points if you want.
Yeah, so it kind of allows you to a bit more versatile kind of base that you can maybe do a bunch of different things with.
Yeah. No, I can't remember what your question was last episode.
No, I was just curious if I'd done something wrong, but no, you had the exact same experience. Like, you had the same thing of like people had a bunch of ships and that's what you thought you were going to make, and then you end up making something else that you're not really involved with afterwards. No. You didn't feel like, I didn't feel like, oh, this is the ship that we built together, you know, and did, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went and looked on the internet.
All right. Yeah.
And if you make all the apparently bad choices, if you make all the Homer Simpson choices, you actually end up with the best ship. There's only two ships.
Oh, is there? Okay. Yeah.
But if you make all the Homer Simpson choices, you actually end up with the best ship.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it is a Class C ship.
Yeah.
So unless you've got piloting four, you can't fly it anyway.
Hello.
But if you want to sell it, it's worth the most money.
Right.
So it's by far the better ship. Everything about it has got better shields, it's got better weapons, it's got better cargo space, it's got better grav drive. Everything about it is better if you choose the Homer Simpson choices, which is crazy because who makes Homer Simpson choices other than Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
Obviously, the guy that wants to put gold plating inside the ship makes the Homer Simpson choices. Yeah. But I was super disappointed to find out there were only actually two ships.
Yeah, less than I thought.
If there were five or six ships that came out of it, then I would have thought that that's a really good quest.
Yeah.
But there's actually only two ships. There's the Povo ship or the Homer Simpson ship.
Right.
So, I think I had the same experience. I got so engaged in the quest that the resolution was super disappointing.
Yeah.
So Walter liked me for solving it, which I appreciated.
Which is fine, you know.
And he gave me a ship for free, which I also super appreciated.
Yeah, it's also fine.
I went back to try and find it. Went everywhere. Went to Strauss Eklund, went to the shipyard, everywhere trying to find it, not realizing that it's already unlocked in my ship inventory.
Oh, I had to go and try to pick it up. I had to go travel over and went to the shipyard and it was there.
Well, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Right. And you went straight into your thing.
And just,
I wonder if it's because I can't claim it, if that was the problem.
Maybe because you can't claim it, yeah.
What annoyed me about that as well, I remembered, was brand new ship.
Yeah.
Brand new ship off the production line.
Wasn't registered.
Go inside. And it's been lived in.
It's full of junk.
There's just shit everywhere. Yeah. There's half-eaten meals and stuff. And I'm like... It's like one of those things where like that is very immersive if I'm getting onto someone else's
massively immersion breaking.
But if it's not, if it's a brand new
ship. It should have been pristine. There should have been nothing on it.
Yeah, I
agree.
But because you can't decorate your internals like sort of like a house or anything, they have to pre-decorate
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything about this game, like it has a good premise, but the implementation is sort of lackluster.
Yeah.
You know, like they wanted to do this. And I think if they would have actually achieved all the things they wanted to do, it would have been a much better game.
Yes.
But there's so much compromise in it that I wonder, is it just compromise for the sake of like compromising?
Instead of cutting whole systems out. Like they would have been much better off cutting out the outposts and then releasing a DLC for outpost building and making a whole quest line around outposts. Because there's really no reason to build outposts.
You know what I would have done? Gotten rid of the ships.
Yeah.
I would have just got rid of the ship. All the ship stuff is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it.
Other than collecting them. Which also bugs me when you find a ship and you kill all the crew and you can't get into the ship.
Because
it says inaccessible.
Huh. Rude.
I found the Starborn, whatever they're called.
They
left their ship behind. Can't get into it. Can't even open the door to get into it.
Where's my plasma cutter? I'll cut those locks off. No problems.
I know.
I guess you can't fly it then because it wouldn't be...
And I'm doing the Sam Coe's loyalty mission, Okay. And the ship lands on the landing pad, disgorges all the mercenaries, kill them all, go into the ship, inaccessible.
Nah.
It's right there.
God damn.
There's no one on it because I just killed them all. It's right there. Why can't I have a ship?
Thank you.
Give me a ship for free. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that bugs me.
Yeah.
But the thing that bugs me the most, going back to...
Oh, yeah, Strass Eklund.
No, Strass Eklund's finished.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's right.
Strass Eklund was okay. It's the main story arc.
Yeah.
So I had the scowl. Remember, I was stuck on the scowl where you have to steal the artifact from the collector.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the collector. Yep,
there is no friendly way to do that.
Oh, really?
The best way to do it, if you want to be passive, is to shoot him in the face until he surrenders and then tell him to let the crew stand down.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to kill anybody.
Yeah.
But they all badmouth you as you're walking around the ship.
Oh.
Taking all you can technically walk out of the ship.
Yeah.
With just a bit.
Yeah.
But everything stops being stolen at that point. So you can still loot whatever you want from the ship. So yeah, okay. I did a little bit of looting, I must admit. Yeah. So I probably deserve to be badmouthed by them.
Oh, well, fair enough.
But I would have much preferred a peaceful dialogue type resolution.
Yeah.
Or one of my Carapanians steals it and I've got to back them up rather than it's me doing the... Like Constellation's supposed to be this forward-thinking organization and they steal something from someone because they want it?
Yep.
Yeah, that bothered me. Then the Hunter. So spoilers, if you're not this up part of the game, but you should be because we've been really slow playing it.
So slow.
The Hunter.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how much ammo and how many grenades and how many med packs I wasted on the Hunter in the lodge because he's unbeatable. But it doesn't tell you that he's unbeatable and you think you can beat him because you knocked down his first three bars of health.
Yeah.
So I knocked down his first three bars of health and thought I was just getting unlucky.
Yeah.
But no. I realized after 10 minutes of fighting he was never going to die. It wasn't that I was being unlucky. And so I just ran away.
Yeah.
And this is where I got really annoyed because it takes away player agency.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want the player to run away, do it a different way. He kept reappearing and then shooting at me. I died three times because I said, the game just wants me to run away from him. So I just ran away from him.
Yeah.
He shot me in the back three times.
Yeah.
Because you can't run fast enough when he does so much damage or whatever.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to waste med packs healing myself.
Yeah.
So that really, I always stayed and I could have left all the Constellation dudes to die because I ran faster than all of them.
Yeah.
But for role-playing reasons, I stayed behind Cora, who was the slowest, and protected Cora, which is why I kept getting shot in the back.
Yeah.
But then also, he teleports in front of you and starts shooting you from the front, and then all the UC soldiers come in, and they can't do a thing. Like, 25 UC soldiers. I said, okay, surely they'll be able to do something. No. They just gun him down. He just guns him down. They don't actually die. They kind of just disappear.
Yeah.
I thought that was a terrible... Story beat.
Remember that whole sequence. It was a bit
weird. He attacks the eye.
Yeah.
He attacks the eye and he attacks the lodge.
And he kills.
And you have to choose. Yeah. So your highest, the companion that you have the highest affection rating with will be on the eye.
Right.
And the companion that you have the second highest affection rating with will be on the lodge.
Yeah.
And the game doesn't tell you this, but you have to choose which one of them is going to die.
Yeah.
Mass Effect did it so much better. When it is clear that the choice you're making is going to kill Caden or kill Leslie.
Yeah.
And then it's a really impactful choice.
Yeah.
Because you know what your choice is going to mean.
Yeah.
But this, do we go up to the eye or do we stay on the lodge?
I don't know.
There's nothing saying one of your companions is going to die based on the choice you make here.
Yeah.
So I thought that was crap.
Yeah.
I thought that was crap.
Yeah.
And then I thought the fight with the Hunter was even more crap.
It was boring. Yeah.
Either he should have been so obviously invincible.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't. He was reeling. When I hit him, he got set on fire.
Yeah,
he got knocked down when I hit him with a grenade. His health bar shrunk.
I'm trying to remember how I fought that. I remember still hiding behind the bar and shooting at him and doing that again and again and again.
Because it looks like you can beat him.
Yeah. How did that fight end? I don't remember UC Marines.
And he saves against every single Starborn power you throw at him.
Yes.
Every single one he just saves against it.
Yeah.
And then he just tails you. And the civilians running everywhere. And of course, because I'm playing it on the Xbox, when I go to New Atlantis now, civilians walk up to the door of the building from inside the building. They step outside and then they go, and run. So for some reason, the world state, I've only been back to New Atlantis once.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will fix itself.
Yeah.
But I went back straight after and everything's trashed.
Yes.
Which is what's supposed to happen.
Oh, yes.
Then I went
yes,
back
yes,
there yes. again.
Yeah.
And all the civilians would be calm and peaceful while they're in the buildings.
Yeah.
But as soon as they entered the street, they would run and panic.
Wow.
And they're running everywhere. It was hilarious.
Oh, funny.
It was very funny.
I've still got a couple of security corpses in the in the security area there. I've walked past. I forgot what they were from, but now you say that, I'm like,
the hunter starts laying waste to everybody.
Yeah. Yep. He's so overpowered.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really that really I felt it removed my play agency. I was no longer in control of what I was doing with the game. I had to do what the game told me to do.
Yeah,
but even when I did that, the game still killed me.
Yeah.
Which really pissed me off.
Yeah. And then it's you should have fought off the hunter, and that's why you saved that companion there, not that the hunter kind of gets bored and walks away, like, or whatever. Why does he leave?
You have to run to the ship and you
take,
fly off in the ship, and then he intercepts you. Somehow he miraculously teleports to his ship and teleports into space and then says, you are a worthy opponent. I'll leave you for today. Or some – I actually didn't understand what that was
at all. Yeah, okay. Now it's all sudden. It's a massive disjoint. That's when I went to the eye and saw
– yeah.
In my case, Sarah died. That's who I had
Sarah
the most,
died in my case as well.
You know, affection as well. Okay. That was a very – okay, so it's all coming back now.
Three quests in a row.
Yeah.
Three quests in a row that I thought were really bad.
Yeah.
All three of them were main story arc quests. And there's three in a row that were all terrible.
Right. That's why I wanted you to do it. Because I wanted to see how you went through all this
Of it. Yeah. I really didn't like that.
Yep.
It was almost enough to make me stop playing the game
again.
I think I did, really, for a bit.
I was just like, oh, this is so...
It's so amateur. For a company that's done... That they do such good stuff.
Yeah,
there's so many other good quests. It's like Return of the Jedi. Not Return of the Jedi. Revenge. I can't even say the name of the damn movie.
Revenge of the Sith? Which one? Were you talking prequels, sequels, originals?
Prequels. No, the Skywalker saga. The second Skywalker saga. Done by Rian Johnson.
Oh, The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. That's it. I can't even remember the name.
What it was, as soon as you
it's like
them.
That. They've got these quests that are fantastic and engaging and really interesting, and then they put this dog turd in the middle of your main story arc. It was terrible. I thought it was really terrible. It doesn't even build up.
No.
It's just, we've lost connection with Vladimir. Oh, this eye's been destroyed. Oh, he's coming down to the lodge. We've got to protect the lodge.
Yeah.
It goes from nothing. There's zero build up to
a
massive disaster.
Yeah. Immediately. Yep.
I thought it was really badly and lazily written.
It was very disjointed. And I mean, that's why I'm now, it's all starting to come back to me. I'm having trouble even remembering the quest because it's so like you don't expect it to happen.
It's very disjointed.
Like,
yep.
And when you mentioned the Mass Effect example, you know, the Caden question, like that was very early on in the game.
I was about 2/3 of the way through the game.
The Caden...
Yeah. So you do the three planets. You do the three planets, and then you go to the Krogan planet, and it's on the Krogan nursery planet is where you have to make the choice.
Wow, I felt it was really a lot earlier in it.
No, you got
well
and truly attached to Caden and Leslie at that point.
Yeah. Ashley.
Ashley, that's right. Ashley, the space racist.
A little bit space racist,
Yes, Ashley and Caden.
Right.
Absolutely clear that your choice means that they will die.
Yeah.
Which makes the choice really impactful.
And they're right there in front of you. You made that choice as well as a commander. That was,
that was really well done. And that, so Bethesda have learned nothing from BioWare. BioWare have learned nothing from BioWare. Oh, so why should I be surprised?
You know, this is the way it goes. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it would be much better if they said, Sarah's dying on the eye. We need you to come and pick her up. Something.
Yeah.
And then, we aren't going to be able to hold out the lodge. Somehow make it clear that if you take the ship, then the lodge is going to get sacked and someone's going to die. Somehow they need to make it obvious that someone was going. I had no idea that someone was going to die.
No, I had no idea. I was very surprised. I was like, oh, okay. And that's one of those, I hadn't done that much with the companions.
And that's
the other thing. There's a lot of companions to get through and use without,
and you can completely ignore them.
Yeah.
It's so easy to completely ignore them.
So the fact that I was most like affectionate with Sarah is probably just because I talked to her a little bit more than anyone else, because I was interested in her like being the leader of Constellation. Yes. And she kind of talks about her mentor who first, you know, trained. And that's sort of, you know, that's as far as
she does have an interesting story.
I hadn't even met Alicia.
The Faerun priest lady, the thief. Andreja.
Yeah, yep.
Andreja.
I never met her yet with to a even J. like, you know, yeah, to even, you know.
For her to even be a choice.
Choice, I guess, you know, yeah. I don't have anyone. I've got no companions at the moment. I don't have anyone with me.
Have you chosen the skill that gives you benefits when you do that?
No.
Of course you haven't, because there's so many damn skills.
I've got no points.
There's so many flipping skills.
Yeah, the Lone Ranger, I guess, whatever the new version of that is. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's such a...
Again, it's because it is, at its core, it's an enjoyable game, but they've made so many bad choices.
Oh, I got myself in the same situation with the stupid ammo as well. So one of my favorite guns uses 45, which is rare as hen's teeth.
Yep.
Then I found out in the same building as Aeon Strickland, is an ammo manufacturer. I'm trying to think of the name. They make the mag guns.
Yeah,
they are so good. Magpulse. So now I need magpulse bullets. You know, which is again rare as hen's teeth. I'm like, oh man, why are all these guns that I love?
Yeah,
you know, this thing's like it's like a rifle, but like the laser dots for all the bullets is like a grid of like dots that you send out, like, you know, kind of thing, and it shoots sort of like a shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's so much fun. I've had a lot of, you know, good fun with it, but no ammo for it again.
Have you learned the ammo trick?
Oh no, what's the ammo
trick? Ammo weighs nothing.
Yeah.
So if you loot all the corpses
and
then drop their gun, you take all the ammo out of the gun when you drop it. Infinite weight-free ammo, and you just drop the guns on the ground.
So you got to pick them up, but you got to drop them.
You got to pick them up, but you can drop them straight away again. It takes the ammo out of them as soon as you pick them up.
That's something at least. I mean, I don't know. I think 45 ammo is still pretty rare.
Yeah, they're mostly shooting me with Grendels.
Yeah, so many Grendels.
The Equinox, the laser gun.
Yeah.
I've
got plenty of Equinox ammo.
Yeah. What's the other one? The starts with M. The assault rifle.
Maelstrom?
Maelstrom. The Maelstrom,
Yep.
They're the main ones they attack me with. I just did a base with the Syndicate, Sam Coe's mission. You got to attack the Syndicate base, and they're actually attacking with the stun guns.
Oh, hello.
Neuro guns, whatever they're called. The neuro pistols or the neuro rifles. Yeah. That was interesting.
Interesting. So tell me, Tony, what's wrong with Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Final Fantasy VII Remake, I played the expansion pack.
Yeah.
And I got to the end, and the final boss is insane. I swore at my computer again. I haven't sworn at my computer for ages. I swore at it again, and it actually made me realize why I don't like the game.
Yeah.
They have kept the complexity of a turn-based combat system with the moves and stuff in it.
Yeah.
But they put it into a real-time combat system with all the flashy animation and stuff.
Yeah.
I worked out that you can't see what's going on to work out why you're dying.
That's a classic Final Fantasy thing. Actually,
you can't actually see what's going on.
Yeah.
To know. So he just covers the air, the ground in the death. Yeah. I could see that, and my health was being leached. But I couldn't see that when I went to attack him, when under a certain condition, he would just reflect all that damage back on me. I couldn't see that's what was happening.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was going, it's your turn, what do you do? I'm going to attack him. Okay, you attack him for 45 damage. You take 45 damage. So when he's in that state and I attack him, he's doing 100% damage reflect on me. I can see that now. I can work around it. But in this, I couldn't work out why I was looting. I couldn't work out what was going on.
So
then I just went onto the internet and read how to beat him, and I did it, and I beat him straight away.
Yeah.
So if you know how to do it, it's actually quite easy to do. Like I said, with hard mode. If you know what to do, it's actually quite easy to do it.
But that feedback loop being lacking.
But there's no fun. It's absolutely no fun getting completely destroyed. And trying, maybe I'll try this. No, I got completely destroyed again. Maybe I'll try this. No, because you've got so many options.
See, that's interesting. That's very similar. Two things. Final Fantasy XIV, the MMO, right?
Yeah.
One, everyone turns off battle animations when you're doing a raid.
Yeah.
Particularly other people's battle animations because there's some of the classes just put out so many effects you can't
see anything.
What's going on. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. So the so the fight's gone really boring looking when you're doing a raid because you've got nothing switched happening. On.
Yep.
Second thing is when you do a raid, if you know the trick, the raid is significantly easier.
Yeah.
And almost everyone watches a video
of how
and
to you do go the to raid.
Learn how to do the fight, right? But to work that out, someone like a you know the top guilds, they thrash at them until they work out all the things the that it takes.
Tactic. Yeah.
Yeah, is kind of thing. And obviously, that's fun for some people. But these are two things that are like from high-end raid stuff that they're trying to bring, seems like the sort of single-player kind of experience.
Which is not welcome. It's not wanted. I have enough trouble with the... And the fact, the thing that really bugs me is you have all these resources that can keep you alive, but you can only use them when the active time battle has got a segment in it. So it's got real-time combat to swing your sword.
But
if you want to use an item or cast a spell or do something that might actually be useful, you have to wait for your progress bar to fill up. So I got, and in the expansion pack, it's just the two characters. It's just you and one other character.
Yeah.
And you can't control that other character. That character is completely computer controlled for the whole game.
Wow.
But I got in this final fight, because there's only two characters, I got stuck in an endless loop of when you die, he sacrifices himself to raise you. So he'd sacrifice himself to raise me. So then I'd throw a phoenix down on him would be the first thing I would do.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he got an active time battle bar up, he would use an item or heal himself, whatever. But that took time for that to happen.
Yeah.
By which time I died again. So now he would kill him. So I was caught in this merry-go-round. That's why I got so angry. I got caught in this merry-go-round of I would die. I'd stay alive just long enough for him to heal himself and then I would die again. And I'd stay alive just long enough for him to heal himself and then I'd die again. I got caught in this endless spiral.
Exactly talking about what happens in a raid where like, you know, if everyone's alive and doing damage and healing, not taking too much damage, the healers can heal enough, right? But what can happen is if enough people are taking too much damage, the healers are spending so much time healing them, they don't heal the tank.
Yeah.
Right? When they need them, and then they die.
Yep.
So they res them.
Yeah.
And while they're doing that, they're not healing everyone else.
And they all die.
And then you end up in this... in this loop where you just can't
make any forward progress.
The momentum going again and get a, you know, there are like, you know, obviously there's always like some Hail Marys you can maybe throw out to sort of get it back up again. But it's when you do them, it's a choreographed dance that you have to perform from start to finish.
Yeah.
And every time you mess it up, that choreograph gets harder and harder to pull off it towards the end. I feel like you're describing a Final Fantasy 14 raid to me right now, Tony. Like that's really interesting.
It's clear they've taken that mechanic into the
single player game. It would seem like, you know, it's sort of... I
would absolutely love this game if it was turn-based combat. It looks gorgeous. It's great to play. It's engaging. The story's engaging. But the combat is just... I also wouldn't mind if you couldn't swing your sword ad infinitum. Because the bad guy can swing their sword ad infinitum.
Yeah.
They only get to do their mega death stuff when their bar fills up.
Yeah.
But their mega death stuff is 10 times more powerful than your mega death stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that they can only do it 4 times as often as you can do yours.
Yeah.
Because they only need to do it once as often as you do yours and you're dead.
Wish death.
Yeah, exactly. I wish you were all dead.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, okay. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So that's why I don't like... I didn't know that. Playing it on normal difficulty...
Yeah.
I didn't really pick it up. It was only when I did that final boss fight, and he's so hard. And it's got two cutscenes in the middle of the fight. So there's there's four stages to the fight.
Yep.
The end of the first stage has a cutscene, and at the end of the third stage there's a cutscene.
Yep.
But the checkpoint is right at the start of the fight. So doing it over and over and over again, I kept seeing those unskippable cutscenes, and I was getting so sick of it.
Unskippable cutscenes are the worst. Yep.
It was just stupid. And it's important to the story. The cutscenes were actually important to the story, which is ridiculous that they're in the middle of a fight. And that's the other thing that I don't like about this, and Starfield does it as well. And Spider-Man, the other game I haven't been playing Desert World.
Spider-Man.
Giving you story content while you're in the middle of fighting. You can't absorb the story content while you're trying to not die.
Yeah, yeah.
At least Final Fantasy does it in a cutscene. So it means you can pay attention to it and get the story reveal.
But you're in the middle of a fight, though.
But you're in the middle of a fight.
Like, I want to do this.
And it ruins your momentum.
Yeah.
And it means if you die, you got to go sit through it all again.
Even worse for a real-time game to do that. If it's turn-based, then you've got this, like... Obviously, like turns, you've got this cadence. Yeah. You can take a break, come back. You know, you can stop and think about it and recenter. But when you're in real time, you're back on again. Okay, now you're back thinking. That's really, really odd. Nothing about Final Fantasy VII Remake has any appeal to me whatsoever to play. I have no, because I missed Final Fantasy VII on the original release. Yeah. So when it came out, I was kind of curious to like sort of get in on
I think if you liked this style of combat,
I don't know why you would.
It would actually be advantageous to have never played the original because it's not. It is not. I think they should be sued for calling it Final Fantasy VII Remake because it is not.
Yeah.
They've taken the characters and they've taken some of the story elements and made a completely different, game.
Yeah.
I'm actually insulted that they called it Final Fantasy VII Remake because...
Yeah. You're just trading on old stuff, just making new Final Fantasy. Like, you can make it Final Fantasy about anything all the time. Just do that. Why make... You know, just cash in on the...
It should have been Final Fantasy, whatever it is, 19, with Final Fantasy VII characters. That's what they should have called it.
Just do it. Like, it's Final Fantasy. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
You know, infinite worlds, you got multiple... I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how the laws interact and stuff, but Final Fantasy
XIV They're completely different worlds.
Yeah,
They're usually completely different worlds each iteration.
Right,
but yeah, it's so much not... Having the problem was I absolutely loved... Final Fantasy VII. It was one of my favorite games on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
It was really good. It is the first game that brought your whole party into the final boss fight. And I thought, that is so good.
Yeah.
You've made me develop my entire party for the whole game.
Yeah.
And if I neglected anybody, I now suffer because you've brought the whole party.
Yeah.
There's 9 members of your party and there's 3 segments of the boss you got to fight. Mm. And there's 3 party members at each segment. I thought that was really, it's just like the suicide mission in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, it feels like that.
So I really, really enjoyed the original. Yeah. And then this remake just feels like an insult to me.
I thought the real-time combat was going to be more like Final Fantasy Crisis Core, which I played on the PSP.
Yeah, no, it's nothing like that. Which
is real-timey but turn-based. It's turn-based, but it's really it's a turn-based game with a little bit of like auto-forwarding kind of thing.
Whereas
a little bit
this like is you continuously take damage from the enemy.
Yeah.
And the thing that I absolutely hate is there's limit breaks and the limit breaks don't auto-target. So it's really hard to build up your limit break, okay? It's really hard. And if you say, limit break that monster over there, but you're standing here, he'll just do a limit break over here. He won't run over to the monster and then start his limit break.
It's like the opposite problem with Baldur's Gate 3 where they run too much. Yes. Your ones, they don't run enough.
Yes. So so many times playing that game, I've wasted stuff because of it's taken a turn-based mechanic and put it into a real-time game.
Yeah.
And it takes several times. I understand this is probably more realistic.
Yeah.
You're casting a spell, so I'm casting the cure spell so I don't die.
Yeah.
And in the middle of my animation, I get killed.
Yeah.
Nothing infuriates me more than that. I have cast the spell as soon as I can cast it, and you've still killed me. I've literally cast a spell. I have put the command into the game.
Yeah.
I have finished my command. I should now not be interrupted casting that spell and dying. Yeah.
It's one of those, reminds me a little bit like of iframes, you know, like a dodge, right, in a game.
Yes.
Is sort of like, okay, you know, I'm playing Valheim, a big troll swings a big tree, I dodge, trying to like, you know, make the game so it works so that I'm actually dodging underneath.
Yeah.
You know, it's never going to work. The animation for roll. So they make you invulnerable for a few frames. Yes. And if you dodge at the right time, you imagine that you went, ooh, I did a limbo underneath the post or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's a nice compromise between realism and this, you know. That's just like, it's so frustrating.
So twice in that final fight, I'd cast the cure spell on myself and I was literally, the green magic was in the air.
Yeah.
And once it even went over the top of me. So the spell animation had finished, but the game hadn't processed my hit points going up when he killed me. So there's like a 1 second delay between you finishing the command and it actually having an impact. It just made me so angry.
Yeah.
Because none of that is in the turn-based system.
Yeah.
You actually have full control. And that's, I like in the turn-based system that the fights are difficult and require some strategy.
Yeah.
But this is, it's not too... enemies lined up facing each other. It's a 3D arena.
Yeah.
And they can be in any direction. And they've even done increased back damage. So if you get attacked in the back, you take extra damage.
Right.
They've even added that in.
Nothing about it sounds appealing.
No, don't play it.
I didn't have any intention to, but no, I'm definitely.
Yeah. So definitely don't. It's not. It's. If you find it in the $1 bin, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really does look gorgeous.
Yeah.
The story's not even that great. Collecting the materia and leveling up the materia is really interesting, and finding out what new powers the materia gives you, that's really interesting. That pushes my buttons. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, the fights are stupid. The fights are just ridiculously stupid.
Oh, God.
And the story's lame. It's terrible. Like, let's take a stereotype and let's make it even more stereotyped than the stereotype already is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, are you done at least with Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Well, I've gone back to Starfield now, so I haven't finished. I haven't burned the discs and thrown them away. I do still want to fight the Marlboro. I do want to do that, but I've got to do more hard mode to get to that. So
God.
I'm going to go back to it.
Yeah.
So I can't buy any new games this year. I've got all these games from last year that I still need to finish before I buy anything new this year.
Likely story.
And I still haven't even done Cyberpunk yet.
Yes, that's what I'm looking. I want to get Starfield out of the way so I can focus in on that. Because then everything, like, the more we go into Starfield, the more I'm like, oh, man, this is, Cyberpunk just has so many more dynamic stuff. I was reading something yesterday on the subreddit about some interactions you can have. Someone was talking about, just like with Evelyn Parker, like someone wanted to, can you go Evelyn Parker straight away? And like, no, it's locked. She's always in a superposition where she's never where you are.
All right.
Only where you aren't, you know, like if you go to Fingers, she's not there. Yeah. If you go to Woodman, then she's not there either, you know, because some stuff is there already in the game until he gets to it. But then someone's just saying, like, depending on whether you've done all Wakako's gigs or not, she'll like just give you the address.
Oh, okay.
Immediately where you need to go, and like whether or not you need to do other things. Like, there's just so many little things to make this like more lived in real world kind of interactions. Like Wakako, if you've done all the things, she really likes you as a fixer. She's going to just give you the thing to make it easy, but she doesn't know you from, she's not going to make it easy, is she? You know, like, you know, so like, oh man, that's like so cool that stuff is there, you know, and like, but no, let's get through Starfield. Let's get that done. I just got to get that piloting skill up so I can
buy the
thing and go and finish the jump the 61 light years.
Oh, so you need to, at one point, you need to have higher piloting.
Yeah, well, this is, to be fair, I don't know, but like you need to get a ship that has a 61 light year jump capacity. Which what I have found is that I need at least a Class B license.
Okay.
To do that. Now, I will grant you that I have not been to every shipyard to go and check all the ships to see and done. There may be a ship out there, but that sounds tedious and boring.
It does.
Apparently, I'd just rather level up and complain about having to kill a bunch of ships to get my Class B. I don't want the free ship that I've already got.
You've got to get up to piloting level 3 to get your Class B license as well.
Yes, so I'm on 2.
Right.
I have the point.
You get 15 ships.
I have the point.
Yeah.
I just need to kill, I think I got the point just recently because I've been doing the Crimson. That's been giving me XP.
Yeah.
So I just need to kill the 15 ships and then I can do that and then I'll be okay. So I'm almost there.
I had three skill points.
Mm.
I had two skill points.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to spend them on, so I just banked them.
Yeah.
Then I got a third skill point. I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to choose anything. Bang, bang, bang. And then literally 10 minutes later, I suddenly went, oh, I need this. Oh, I just wasted my skill points. So I'm either going to have to go back to an earlier save or grind out another level.
Give me a respec option, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably can't do it because it's got all these stupid challenge crap attached to it.
It's got this stuff attached to it, yeah.
And it's not smart enough. Hey, how's this? Conan has a battle pass.
Yeah.
Nothing unusual. And part of that, you have challenges. Kill 15 boars.
Yeah.
Make a thing. Do a dungeon. Whatever it is. If you... It's actually so generous. You get like 5 challenges, different XP points. You get a bank of 20 multipliers for doing these challenges as well. Every day you get another 5 multipliers back. So it only matters if you're if you're playing every day, you might have to manage. If you're not playing every day, you're always going to have all these multipliers. Yeah. If you don't get a challenge done, then when that comes back up again, you will remember the progress you were at from last time.
That's fantastic.
3 full rerolls every day. Reroll all the challenges again. Like, very generous.
Yeah, that's
like, good. The Battle Plus is not free. So, okay, whatever. That's, you know, we can go into that.
Yes.
But in terms of, like, earning XP to work the battle pass, you know, if you're playing every day, you have like a bit of an incentive maybe to sort of like only do the better XP ones.
Yeah.
You know, the more difficult stuff to get the benefit for the multiplier.
Yeah.
If you don't play very often though, just do whatever because you're not going to chew through them anyway and they'll be back by the time you get back anyway kind of thing. Like, oh, and then just having the half progress as well, like is just...
That's good, safe progress.
That's very, very like friendly to the player. I was very impressed with that, you know, for... Yeah, old mate Conan. All right. That's us for this week.
That's enough complaining for this week.
I do apologize.
Sorry about that, yes.
Baldur's Gate 3 was really fun. Like, I think we had a really good chat on that, you know. Like, you know, that's been good. That's been good. Next time, more Baldur's Gate 3, of course.
Yes.
Keep working our way through that. Maybe some, like, final story. Maybe I can tear myself away from Valheim to actually play some... Starfield. And Conan play some Starfield and actually like get through that,
the end content,
that bit. Yeah. I really want to see how the story finishes so I can judge the whole story as a whole. Because at the moment I'm
a bit
meh.
It may just be a bad dip in the story where we've got to.
Yeah,
it may
pick
up again.
I think I'm a little bit further on because I've got like you meet the hunter again, have a nice little chat with the hunter as well. So there's a little bit more that I'm.
Yeah.
That's probably why you haven't got the 61 light year
ship requirement
yet. Yeah. Yeah, no more Final Fantasy VII Remake. We're done.
No, done. Finished. I might bring it up again in a future episode.
You're right. That game just cracks me up. I don't know what's going on with it. Anyway, until next time, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.